Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Jay Ahern, Assistant Commissioner, Office of Field Operations at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Jay, could you tell us, what is the Security and Accountability for Every Port Act, or SAFE Port Act, of 2006? What are the implications of the SAFE Port Act in terms of enabling CBP to better accomplish its mission, and what is the status of the implementation today?
Well, the SAFE Port Act actually codified a lot of the programs we've talked about in some of the earlier segments today. It codified our programs for CSI as well as the CTPAT program. Also has more challenges for us as we look at enhancing our automated targeting system, and also has a requirement for us to begin doing more overseas work. There had been a lot of conversation in the Congress over the last several months, probably close to a year now, of doing 100% screening overseas. I'm not sure that a lot of those that were advocating knew exactly what they were saying or what that meant, what the impact was. But clearly, as a principal in the agency that believes very strongly in extending borders and having a layered strategy, it made sense for us to certainly begin some of the testing of expanding through our CSI program overseas screening. And we think that's going to be one of the key things for Safe Port Act, that we're going to be testing three overseas locations to do 100% screening for radiation and X-ray, complementary to our CSI ports.
Now, along the same theme, what is the Secure Freight Initiative, and how does this initiative support the CBP and OFO missions? And specifically, could you elaborate on what is the future direction for scanning cargo, both here in the U.S. and at foreign ports?
Well, the Secure Freight Initiative is something that was announced by the Secretary, Secretary Chertoff, in December of 06. And basically what that calls for is fulfilling the requirements of the Safe Port Act of doing three locations overseas, 100% of the container traffic destined to the United States. And we'll fulfill that obligation in the ports of Port Qasim in Pakistan, Puerto Cortez, Honduras, and also in Southampton in the UK. And those will be locations when we go out with this first implementation in the overseas location. It'll give us the opportunity to take the large-scale X-ray systems, high-energy systems, to be able to have a look inside the containers non-intrusively, and also have the radiation portal monitors that DOE, the Megaports Initiative folks, are going to be partnering with us on as well, to have that radiation capability, and then be able to have the capability to remote all this technology file, if you will, back to our National Targeting Center. And I think the Port Qasim, Pakistan, will be one of our best models to talk about. And we should be starting that probably within the next 45 days. So we're very aggressively out there implementing that schedule under the Safe Port Act and under Secure Freight. But that will give us, in a place like Port Qasim, just because of the security concerns outside the embassy, we're not able to put our people in the port of Qasim. So we have the capabilities now for not only just having the radiation portal monitors there, the large-scale X-ray systems, optical character recognition to be able to take a picture of the box to be able to link that through the electronic file that we have through the automated targeting system and remote all that electronically back to the National Targeting Center for assessment to see if the score is high for risk, to see if the radiation spectra is high for radiation read, and also if there's an anomaly in the large-scale X-ray. And that will all be electronically to a targeter back here in the United States. And then if we need to do a physical inspection, again, we're not there, but we'll virtually be there because we actually will have the capability to work virtually through a remote feed, again, video capabilities with the Pakistani Customs Organization, as well as a two-person unit from the embassy to be able to go out there and do a physical inspection. And we'll have the video feeds back real time here to the United States to take a look at those that we need to look at overseas. So that's kind of the perfect model we'll be testing in Pakistan going in the next 45 days or so. And we're going to really get a good proof of concept here because certainly technology is great. We love to have technology help do our job more effectively, but we need to make sure it works. And that's what the Secure Freight Initiative will help us when we go to these first three locations. But we didn't want to just stop where the Congress mandated that we would do three overseas locations. We're also going to begin later this fiscal year with four additional modified implementation. We're going to be looking at Busan, Korea, Singapore, and also Port Salalah, Oman, modified implementations in certain terminals in those large ports. And their transshipment ports, certainly a place like Singapore, it's going to pose a lot of different operational challenges. So we're going to learn a lot in those locations as well. And the Hong Kong location that was much talked about over the last couple of years through the scanning initiative that was going on there. We're going to continue to monitor and assess that pilot as well. So we'll actually have three that will meet the requirements of the Safe Port Act, but also four more we'll continue to look at for further expansion. And that's going to be very key for us as we then start to make decisions of, is there the capability to do more scanning overseas? Now, we need to take a look at not only just the technology work, the logistics involved. There's a whole host of issues with host country support, response protocols if we do have a radiation alarm. Who's going to do that in certain countries? So this certainly has to be well thought out as we go forward. We think we have a good plan conceived in the locations we're going to, but it really needs to build upon locations where we have a presence, and that's our CSI ports. So we'll continue to thoughtfully roll this out as we go forward, but it's an exciting thing for us to really look at. When I take a look again 30 years ago coming into the organization, would I ever have conceived something like this happening today? No, certainly not. But this is cutting edge for us, and we think it's exceptional for us to provide additional layers of security for the country.
Within Secure Freight, you talked quite a bit about radiological detection. You talked about looking at images. CBP also has a proposal for advanced trade data elements. I guess the shorthand is 10 plus 2. Can you tell us a little bit about what 10 plus 2 is?
10 plus 2 actually harken back to our discussion on the Trade Act. I mean, Trade Act of 2002 had the advanced manifest requirement. In the maritime environment, we were getting 24 hours prior lading. And we actually had a group of our expert targeters from around the country come in and say, what additional elements do you need for targeting for securing this country? And we did go ahead and go through a very rigorous process for many months internally before we then took it out for consultative discussions with the trade. And we resolved down to the number of 10 additional data elements we feel are critical for targeting for security, as well as two additional elements that we can provide from the carrier relative to container status messaging and also stuffing location on a particular vessel, the stow plan, if you will. So we think having that additional information is key for us. And that's a piece of secure freight as well, because it's not just the overseas scanning, but it's also the additional data aggregation. And currently taking what we get from the Trade Act, expanding it by 10 plus 2, is going to give us greater visibility into the supply chain and seeing who actually is more detailed involved in the transaction. And we think that is the appropriate next step for us. But if I was to push that out months or years from now, I think that having greater visibility into the supply chain through data aggregators, third parties, and I know there's a lot of issues that we need to work through on that as we go forward, but that would be part of the longer-term vision as we look in the out years.
Is the 10 plus 2 proposal finalized and implemented, or are there steps left to go?
The 10 plus 2 initiative is not finalized and implemented. We're at the point now we have, again, one of the things from the Safe Port Act we've had for many years, the Commercial Operations Advisory Group Committee, excuse me. It's referred to as the COAC. And we meet with them on a quarterly basis. They basically advise CBP and previously Customs on trade practices and over the last few years, security practices. And certainly this is something we've been very much involved with the COAC on, but also as part of the ACE working group, some of the TSN subgroups that are out there with the Trade Support Network, taking a look at what is out there within industry. Because, again, for us to sit down and conceive, say, well, we just need these 10 additional elements, but if nobody has them, it's going to be kind of an unrealistic theory on our part. So we wanted to make sure we had full consultation with the trade. Long answer to the very specific question, no, we're not fully implemented, but just in early February, we had our final meeting with the COAC on their proposals back on how we would get the information. Is the information there? So that will lead us now into further, getting ready for final discussions, and then we'd have to go through the formal rulemaking process. So we'll go through notice of proposed rulemaking, public comment, final rule, and our goal is to have it implemented in a phased process towards the end of the calendar year.
So you mentioned just a minute ago ACE, which is the Automated Commercial Environment. What's the goal of that program?
Well, the goal of that program certainly is we want to make sure it modernizes what we're doing with not only just, our trade process, but also our automated tools and targeting platforms as well. And again, we think ACE is the capability that really consolidates a lot of the information that we have, and really it's going to place a 23-year-old system, the Automated Commercial Environment. And we think that's real key for us moving forward. It's going to enhance the business practices out there, give a single secure web-based portal for the trade community to reach into us. A lot of the electronic information, not only just for cargo and conveyances, but also crew in certain environments. So this is also going to be a gateway for other government agencies to feed information in, because when you take a look at what CBP does, we're basically the executive agency for many government entities at our U.S. borders. So to have the information come in, this gives us a greater capability for government efficiency and effectiveness so that we can better serve the public.
Are there key milestones that ACE has achieved to date?
Yeah, we believe there's been some very good things. We're certainly very happy with what we've done with the automated truck manifest known as e-manifest and the capabilities that we've rolled out there. That's been great. Certainly the number of accounts, we have over 4,500 accounts for importers, brokers, and carriers, and the benefit of that is more efficient trade activity. It's good for management. It's also greater visibility into the supply chain, which is good for security, and also increases compliance along the way. And that's real important for us. And the collections, having the ability to do monthly duties, much like you would do in your personal life with your credit card statement, we were still doing a lot of transactional work. And to have a monthly summary for duty, taxes, and fees has been great. And we've collected through the end of December of 2006 $753 million through that monthly collection process. So that's extremely efficient for revenue collection and processing, not only for government but also for businesses we conduct our transactions with.
Jay, I want to take us back to the discussion around technology and screening. And we spent a lot of time talking about radiological screening. Could you elaborate on other types of non-intrusive technologies that's being used by CBP in the field today?
Yeah, beyond the radiation portal monitors, and something we've used for a number of years, when you take a look back to our history, we're looking heavily into drug interdiction over the years, and we've realized that, you know, large-scale X-ray systems were very adaptive to that type of a risk. And so we use a lot of high-energy systems. We've got them placed at our land border seaports, other locations as well that are very effective for us. A lot of handheld devices, too, for density detection, things of that nature. We're also looking at is there an appropriate way to have a container security device to make sure that we can maintain the integrity of what's in the box once it's gone through, you know, a CTPAT premise where we know this control over the security practices, point of stuffing. To be able to secure that box as it moves through the supply chain is important for us. So we're looking at the challenges posed with developing an effective container security device. We have not found one yet, and we're still looking, and we're going to be putting some requirements out, and we're going to push that out to industry as a challenge pretty soon. But those are some of the things. But also beyond just some of the large-scale technology, the evolution of systems. I mean, I talked about our automated targeting system, and that's a huge technology for us. But I would say that even with all the additional technology we put out there, there's two things that always keep coming back in my mind as the most critical pieces of technology, and that's our human assets. You know, the men and women that work for us every hour of every day out there on the front lines, they do an exceptional job, and technology can't replace what they do. It complements them. It's an additional tool for them, helps them in many ways. And also, I take a look at the several hundred dog teams we still have out there, and they're still pretty good today. And we've not only expanded their use for drug detection, we've now got them trained for human detection, currency detection. And we've done some testing with chemical detection for chem bio concerns, but also explosive capabilities. So they're a huge piece of technology for us as well.
What does the future hold for Customs and Border Protection? We will ask Jay Ahern, Assistant Commissioner, Office of Field Operations at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.